This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. The state of Washington signed a series of treaties starting back in 1854 that said to the Indian tribes who inhabited this area, in exchange for you giving us your land, we will give you the rights to fish in perpetuity at your usual and customary fishing grounds. That is now before the U.S. Supreme Court, which has heard oral arguments and will decide whether, because of that treaty, the state will be on the hook for the entire cost of replacing all the culverts in the state highway system that are blocking salmon streams. And to find out which way this might go, we consult with our legal consultant, former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Our conversation is sponsored by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Rob, strangely, Bob Ferguson, your successor, who has this liberal reputation, has gone up against the tribes on this one, which has surprised some people. What is the argument the state is making? Because, a treaty is a treaty, isn't it?
It is. And the first thing I want to say is that General Ferguson is addressing this issue as a lawyer for the state, not as a Democrat or a Republican. This case, which just went to the Supreme Court, the question is, what happens when there are fewer fish to catch because of something the state has done? In this case, building culverts under state highways and parkland and lands owned by the state of Washington through the Department of Natural Resources. This case is about a lot more than culverts, you know, a lot more than those big steel or concrete pipes that run underneath highways and roads. It's really about whether the tribes have a right to govern the state, to have a co-sovereign role with respect to any decision of the state or local governments that could affect the number of fish. In other words, do the treaties guarantee them a certain amount of fish as well as a right to catch half the fish that are out there?
Well, I guess we should ask a fundamental question here. Do the bigger culverts work? Do they bring the salmon back?
Well, the tribes say they do, and I think they're right. There are clearly steel culverts and some concrete culverts that do block fish passage, and over time, those should be replaced.
The county executive, Dow Constantine, addressed this in an op-ed where he said and he was talking about the potential cost, which could be in the billions, because there are quite a few of these culverts, apparently. And he writes, the notion that the government would be forced to fix everything immediately, no matter what the practicality or obstacles, ignores the strong connections between tribes, environmental scientists, activists, and local government, all of whom are focused on common sense solutions. So he's saying that even though this sounds draconian, there would be significant cooperation to make sure it doesn't get out of hand. Now, you certainly negotiate with the tribes as attorney general. Is the county executive right here?
Well, he's right in the sense that everyone believes that steps should be taken to protect the fish we have and to make improvements that allow more fish to propagate. The fact is that in my 8 years as attorney general, we repeatedly offered to settle this case with the tribes with a schedule of culvert replacement. In fact, culverts under lands managed by the State Department of Natural Resources and culverts in state parks have, by and large, been replaced already, and the Department of Transportation has been replacing culverts as it goes through and replaces or fixes highways. The tribes did not want to settle on the basis of a fixed schedule, an agreed-upon schedule for replacing culverts. Number one, because they said the schedule we were offering was too long, which is, you know, that's something we can negotiate and debate. But number two, because they're not really pursuing this case because of culverts. They're pursuing it because they want to establish this legal principle that their treaty rights to fish give them a role and a right to, you know, participate in any decision that could affect the number of fish. So beyond culverts, there are lots of land use and development decisions and other decisions that affect the supply of fish. They want to have a guaranteed supply of fish and therefore a say in anything that affects the number of fish. So there's a lot of agreement that culverts should be replaced. There is not agreement that the tribes are co-sovereign with state and local government over any decision that could affect the number of fish.
So you're saying this decision could morph into something much different. So what other things could be affected by this besides highways?
Well, think about land use decisions, water rights. Anytime a water permit is granted, if the tribes say, well, you know, that might reduce the number of fish in the nearby stream, so we have to sign off on it, that's a very great power. That's why I often call this case the most important case that your listeners probably haven't heard of before, because it really is breathtaking in its potential implications.
So what's your thinking with Justice Gorsuch now in the court? Which way does this go?
It's really hard to read. I think that the court is really wrestling with the real-world implications of giving the tribes what they want or, on the other hand, giving the state what it wants. One outcome could be that they send the case back to the trial court, the district court here in Seattle. Is it necessary to put in some sort of floor under the supply of fish in order for the treaties to be honored? I think that could be something that the Supreme Court asks the trial court to take a look at.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Rob, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave.